Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show, sponsored by Barclays. For further information, please visit abnormallyfunnypeople.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of the Abnormally Funny People Show. This was recorded live with a big audience. It's a little bit edgy. We hope you're going to enjoy it.
You might have a little bit of swearing in there, but it's great fun. Have fun. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People podcast. I'm Steve Best.
Hello, and I'm Simon Minty. This is a very special show. We're recording it live at the O2. A big welcome to our live audience.
Wow. So this is the O2, but not where they have the big gigs, the concerts with 20,000 people.
You didn't need to say that, but I think our audience make the sound of 20,000 people. So thank you so much for that.
Let's try that again, shall we? 20,000 people. That's a lovely audience. So for the listeners, we're at the All Bar One at the O2 with a live audience invited by our sponsors, Barclays Bank. This is the place, actually, that Monty Python launched their live shows this year. I don't know if you know that.
I did know that, and I think we're going to follow in their footsteps. Our show is really something completely different. We have our three guests. We're going to hear from them at various points along the show, and we're going to have a little bit of actual stand-up as well.
And we've got our moments of the month, and we're going to review some products. So, the guests on this month's show.
On my immediate left, Paul Carter. Paul is a TV and radio producer and presenter, as well as a journalist. He's the founder and director of Little Man Media, and not the founder of Luton Town Football Club, he's a fan of Luton Town Football Club. He's done some stand-up comedy. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
Next up is Tanny Lee Davis. Tanny Lee Davis is 3'6" stand-up comedian who enlightens and entertains her audiences while headlining at comedy clubs around the world. That's on the website. Next, we have Chris McCausland. Chris is the only professional comedian in the UK and probably even in the world who is blind. He's been performing stand-up for over 10 years and firmly established at the very top of the UK's live comedy circuit. He's regular at the Comedy Store in London town. Chris McCausland.
And at the very end of the show, some of you were here last year, we have a return of the fantastic Lost Voice guy who will be closing the show at the very end.
So let's go on with the show.
Contact us by email, podcast@abnormallyfunnypeople.com.
So we start with Moment of the Month. Paul, you're first up. Tell us your Moment of the Month.
Well, my Moment of the Month was I found myself at dinner a few weeks ago with six other people with short arms like me, which is quite a novel experience. I don't think I've ever been in a room with six other people with short arms before, let alone sitting in a formal dinner situation. And it's a bit weird. When you have arms like me and you're trying to eat food, you have your own rules, you have your own way of doing things. I tell you what, it's bloody weird watching other people do it. It is really, really bloody weird. Like, I have certain things. Like, if I'm eating peas, you always have mashed potato with peas, right? Because the mash acts as glue. Right? They're just things you learn. And there are certain foods that you don't ever eat when you're out in public. Soup, no. Just don't ever try it. Spaghetti bolognese, you're going to end up with it all over your face. At home, it's absolutely fine. You know, shove your face in your plate, drown in your minestrone or whatever. But out in public, it's a bit different. But it was really weird watching all these other people.
But did you learn stuff and think, hang on, that's great technique, and, oh, they're pretty poor.
Someone they really ordered prawns, Simon.
What was it, the mashed potato?
No, but you know the prawns that you have to take the heads and the tails off?
They're just showing off.
Well, that's ordering food. I mean, that's number one. Anything you have to prepare with your hands is right out, generally. So I was like, what on earth are they doing, ordering prawns?
I'm just mesmerised by the whole thing, because I met Paul today for the first time, and I turned up and I put my hand out to shake his hand and he just whacked his stump in there. And so I didn't know.
We shook hands afterwards as well, don't worry.
So I've had a feel unwittingly of what he's working with, and I'm I understand, like, Tanya Lee and Simon, I get how they do things. They just do things at a lower height. And in fact, the first time I met Simon, I was told that Simon had a disability. They didn't tell me he was a dwarf. I assumed for the whole first day that he was in a wheelchair. And so every time he went past me, I'd just give him like 4 feet of gap to get past me. And he was thinking, how fat does this prick think I am? But with the Paul, everyone else in the room, if you're sat with him and he's eating in front of you, you can slyly just have a watch about what he's doing. I just have to ask him everything he's doing. I'm like, how are you using a fork? How are you picking that burger? How do you wipe your arse?
When we said we're going to places, that's what we mean by we're going to places.
I like the way we set our stall out early.
Just why were you having dinner with six people with short arms?
Why wasn't I invited?
It was a thalidomide. I'm not thalidomide, I'm not that old, but I was with a group of thalidomide survivors. So.
You've got the wrong type of little arms.
I know. I've had a couple of stumps in my day.
Thank you very much, that's Paul. Thank you very much, Paul. Tanya Lee, your moment of the month.
Okay, so this happened. I just flew from America today, so I'm very exhausted. Last weekend we had Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, and Black Friday, which is the big shopping day. And, of course, it's all festive, and there's Christmas music and stuff like that. I don't do shopping very well at this time of year. But my boyfriend and I wanted to go out, and I was having a bad hair day, so I just, you know, chucked a Santa hat on. And when we go to Walmart/Asda, I have a mobility scooter, but my boyfriend, it's just easier sometimes for him to chuck me into a shopping trolley. I got no shame, I don't give a shit. And by the way, I don't sit in the little seat, my ass is far too big. I'm in the big part, I sit on my step stool. So he's got me in the cart, and I'm oblivious to people staring anyway, and so we're zipping around the mall, or the Walmart, and you know, people are staring and stuff like that, and this one woman really took some keen interest, and she kind of walked over and was like trying to figure out what's going on here, and my boyfriend without a beat went, they're on sale in aisle 3. She just like, priceless,
I like that. Yeah. I kind of did he sort of pull a little string in your back as well, and you shout something, or was not making movement?
That's great. Thanks, Tanya Lee. And Chris? Moment of the month?
It was actually about 3 weeks ago. I was in Waterloo Station, and I've got a dog, which is a guide dog, which is all new to me. I've had him a year and a half, 2 years, and he's all right. He's a good dog. He's not the greatest of guide dogs, though. He's he tends to take me wherever he thinks there's half a sandwich or another dog's arse, really. But in the station, I tend to go to the information desk, and I get them to show me over to the train to Surbiton, which is where I live. And they normally send a member of staff over to escort you over. And incidentally, by the way, just on a side note, there's a guy who works in Waterloo Station. This blew my mind. He's an Irish man, and he's 76 years old, and he still works there giving assistance to passengers. And this is how some people can view things from a slightly different angle. He's 76, he's worked there, believe it or not, for 56 years. He started at Waterloo Station in 1958. Now, this blew my mind, and I was telling someone about this, about how amazing it was that he's still there after 56 years, but their reaction was, and he's never been promoted. But on this occasion, they sent over this lady. She was a big black woman, and she was, I know she was a big black woman. She was, I'd say Nigeria, that's if I was in that ballpark, I'd say she was from. And it's important for you imagining the kind of, you know, the strong African woman personality that went with this woman. She was a strong woman. I grabbed hold of her arm. She was quite a chunky lady. And we went across the concourse with the dog, and she was kind of barging people out of her way. And we got over to the train to Surbiton, and shit, the doors opened, and it was a very, very busy train. Surbiton's a kind of popular place. It's the last place within Zone 6 that you can kind of get off, really. And And so we got on the train, and she was like, she tried to get everybody up to let me sit down with the dog. And I said, no, it's fine, I'm happy standing. There's more room for the dog here, and I'm happier standing. No, 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 she said, you must sit down. And I said, no, honestly, it's better for the dog if I stand by the door. It's a lot more room. No, you must sit down. People, please get up. And she was getting the people up. And I said, no, please stay seated. I'm happy standing here with the dog. There's more room. And she wouldn't have any of it. No, you must do what I say, she said. And it's not a racist accent if it's a really terrible accent. She was from all over the place. And so she got the people up. I kind of admitted defeat. And she got these people. It was like four or five people she cleared up to make space for me and the dog. And she moved them all out of the way. I think he's crying.
Yes, yeah.
He knows I'm talking
story,
about.
Yeah.
And she moved everybody out of the way on the train. I went and sat down. I'm quite embarrassed by the whole thing with my head slightly bowed so I could hide behind the peak of my cap. And as I sat down, her parting words to me was, next time, do not argue with me, she said. And she turned around just as the doors beeped and shut and the train started moving. And she was stuck on the train to Surbiton. and it was the fast train to Surbiton, which doesn't have any intermediary stops. And so she was stuck on the train. And as she turned around, somebody made a comment, well, he was happy standing.
I'm guessing there was a queue left at Waterloo, like six other blind people all queuing up for assistance now. And while she's gone off to Surbiton, so they're hanging around.
Do you know, I know she was trying to help me, and I feel like a bit of an arsehole, but it was funny, and sometimes you can help too much. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chris. Now, Steve Best on my right is our token non-disabled person. We want to be inclusive. And so it's always hard for Steve to come up with a sort of disability moment of the month. So do you have one?
No. No, not really. It was actually my wife's moment of the month. She's a lecturer at UCL in linguistics, and she had a conference in Budapest. And she met someone who had started up a theatre company for people with learning disabilities. And she did this because her brother has a learning disability. It's not specifically diagnosed. And in the theatre company, there was someone who joined it who had Williams syndrome, which is defined by facial features that's very, very that's only Williams syndromes have, people have. And and she realised from that, because that her brother actually has Williams syndrome as well, just from the fact that was it. That's not very interesting, is it?
So it's always hard to follow. Yeah. So what's the moral, though, of that?
The moral story is, if you want maybe something diagnosed, don't go to the doctor, go to a
theatre
company.
Yeah. So this is the problem with having a token non-disabled person.
I'm trying to be too PC here.
Thank you, Steve.
What about Mr. Minty? What about you?
Can I have two or three? Yeah. Quick ones.
Two.
I was struggling, but then I went to the mega quiz that Barclays sponsored last night. Did some of you go to that quiz? Oh, lovely. Thank you. Barclays sponsored a mega quiz to raise money for the Business Disability Forum. I went and sat on the table, and there's lots of questions around disability. There's one which was, it was a newspaper headline, a bit like Have I Got News For You? And it said, blind pub, and then you had to fill in the blank, blank, call themselves the optimist. And we were thinking, is it a quiz team or something like that? We were really struggling. They finally revealed it. It said, blind pub darts team call themselves the optimists. Really like that. The other bit was just one of those lovely moments. One of the other rounds, they put up pictures of famous or celebrity disabled people, and very unpolitically correct, then you had to guess the impairment. So what was it? Now, there was a picture up there of Adia Depatan. He's the former Paralympian, the basketball player. He's wheelchair user. He presents a lot of TV programs on Channel 4 now. So on our table, we're like, oh, damn it, we know he's a wheelchair user, but what? Why? Was there something else? And between us, we thought, mate, was it polio? Was it polio? And we weren't quite sure. But anyway, 3 minutes later, they start announcing the answers, and they say, and that's the picture of Adia Depatan, and he had polio. Our table went, yay! High five! We were cheering away. So it's not often you cheer when you hear that someone got polio.
Woo for polio.
The other bit, which is, I was a bit surprised by this. There was a survey that was done, and they asked the general public, how many of you feel uncomfortable when you meet or you're talking to a disabled person? And the answer turned out to be 2/3 of the public said that they felt uncomfortable when they talked to a disabled person.
I suppose the other third are disabled.
Probably. Yeah. I was a bit surprised by that.
Well, I was curious whether or not that was a survey done in the UK versus North America. Being somebody from Canada and America, I think it would be lower numbers because I find that I don't get the same reaction over here. People just lose their minds. I talk for a living, and people just go, oh God, please don't talk to me, or they don't want to talk to me. Or...
So we're a bit more stuffy. We're a bit more reserved. We're a bit more polite. Aren't we just a bit more polite?
Really? No.
So at the end of the show, by the way, we've been asked to come out and mingle, so we're going to come and make quite a lot of you. 2/3 of you feel pretty uncomfortable. We're
the doors have been
that.
Locked. We're staying in.
Okay, we're going to change the gear a little bit, and we're going to introduce your first stand-up of the night. Put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, for the wonderful Mr. Chris McCausland, everybody!
I'm from Liverpool originally, but I've lived in London for nearly 20 years, just doing my little bit to help bring down the property prices. And I've been told that I've got to do maybe 8 to 10 minutes, they said. They're going to use 2 minutes of it for the actual recording of the podcast, which means that 6 or 8 minutes I can say what I want, really, and it doesn't really need to be, you know, it doesn't need to be that squeaky clean. So we'll crack on. I live in Southwest London with my wife and the dog, which you've heard tonight. It's good. I like having a dog, you know, in some ways, between you and me. Having a dog, a little bit better than having a wife. I mean, I don't have sex with the dog. So that's the same.
That's staying in.
And I can hear your little comments.
That's staying in, we said.
She's from Rio, my wife, in Brazil. And she's lived over here most of her life. She speaks English much more betterly than me does. And she wanted me to go to Rio with her last Christmas to see where she grew up. I found out that Rio at Christmas, that's their summer. That's a Brazilian summer. So I said to her, how hot will it be in Rio at Christmas? And she told me, like, it's the most natural thing on the face of the planet. Like, she's telling me the time. She's saying, you know, it'll be like 45 degrees. I said, piss off. That's like gas mark 5. There's only one thing should be gas mark 5 at Christmas, and that's the turkey. Do I look like a bloody turkey? Anyway, we compromised, and I went. That's how it works. You know. It's 12 hours, 6,000 miles to Rio. It's a long way. I'm not a good flyer. You know, I'm not comfortable up there. I'm not good in the heat when I get to places either. I go red and bits of me drop off. I wasn't looking forward to it. We landed. It's 35 degrees. I'm not going to exaggerate to you. 35 degrees. I even said to my wife, I said, it's not as hot as I thought it was going to be honest, a little bit hotter than I'd like at home during the summer if it was given the choice. But sod it, I'm on holiday. You make an effort, don't you? She said it's midnight. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Big hand for Chris McCausland.
Contact us by telephone or text on 07756-190-561.
We're going to kick the second half off with our absolutely awesome 3-foot-6 racy Canadian comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, can you give a warm and big hand for Tanya Lee David?
Soak it in, everybody. I know, British people are very uptight. Yes, I know. Don't feel sorry for me. I get it all the time. Oh, look, she's ginger. So I'm in a very male-dominated business. This is my job. So being a chick is quite rare. And obviously, with my height, I bring something new to the coffee table. So of course I'm going to talk about this, you know, and people tend to get really uptight here in the UK, and some people are physically uptight, like, oh God, we're not sure if we should laugh, we might go to hell. Well, you will, I'm in the UK every other month, and I do a lot of shopping when I'm over here, and of course it's the Christmas season, very excited when I go shopping. I get a lot of my cute tops in this country, but I notice that the shops and stuff, you guys put all the cute tops on the upper racks, don't you? And you put the trousers and the skirts low down, don't you, you bastards? And it's all right. I found a better solution. Started shopping at Primark. Yeah, you people throw that shit all over the floor. It makes my life so much easier. All right, thanks a lot, you guys.
Tony Lee Davis, Odie!
If you're enjoying the show, why not leave us a review? Log in on Audioboom or iTunes, rate the program, and leave us feedback.
So, the products, everybody, the products. We review products every month, and this month is no exception. So, Paul, you're first up. We sent you a product a few days ago. What is it? What did you get? What do you think of it?
It's this. It's, we're getting pictures.
We're showing it up on the screen. For those of you at the back.
It's a water bottle with a hose. Oh, sorry. God, I feel like you're being... Like,
I know.
I wouldn't do that. You don't know where it's been, Tank.
Well, I've already been told it looks like something that you give enemas with earlier on. Not that I'd know. So it's a water bottle with a very long hose, and it's got a valve on the end of it which you bite. And I think the aim is so people who are paralysed or have limited dexterity can lie in bed and can drink from it. Without having to reach for a drink. It keeps falling over, it's not very good. I'm just going to leave it on. I'm annoyed with it already. So that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. It is, it's a hydrant, what is it? Hydration system, supplied by Hydrate for Health.
It's not really a H's system. Oh, that's a bit of a bold claim. It's a water bowl with a hose in it. I think calling it a system is pushing it a little bit.
That's what I was going to ask you what you think.
As a water bottle with a hose in it, it's one of the finest water bottles with a hose in it I've ever used. I mean, it's great. It's grand. Thank you very much.
I failed to see why it's a disability thing, though.
Say again, Chris.
I failed to see why this is a disability thing, to be honest.
You think the paralysis thing might be part of it?
Yeah. Well, the paralysis is just a benefit scam, really, isn't it? But, the bottle with the hose in it just sounds like something that would be suitable for anyone with a hangover when you wake up in bed and you just want to have a drink without moving your head.
I mean, one thing that I have found with it is because the hose is so long, is that it takes an enormous amount of sucking to actually...
Oh, shit.
I've already knocked something over backstage. Well, I'm going to do it again.
It's cost £13.95, and we're going to score it out of 10. We usually score it out of 10. So you're first up, Paul, out of 10.
I mean, as bottles with hoses go, it's great. I'd give it a strong 6.
Tanya Lee Davis?
Well, I'm thinking it from my use. I'm kind of cheap, and alcohol is really expensive at the bars, so I would have that filled up with vodka in my handbag, and then you just take a sneaky peek.
Run the hose up your
from
sleeve.
The hose. There you go, yeah, and then you just, yeah, I can make my own drinks at the bar. So on that note, 8.
Chris McCausland?
I haven't seen
him. He's allowed one of them. He's allowed one of those gags.
I'll give it an 8.
Simon Minty?
I'm 7. I'm a 7.
I'm a 7. Audience?
Hold on.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up. Who thinks it's good?
Two people.
You've got... Okay, you all made up your own of middle ones.
Middles.
Tanya Lee.
All right.
We send you a product. Steve... versus professional photographer, decided to keep the stuff in the plastic bag. So on the photo, you've just got a picture of plastic bags. You can't.
Plastic
really,
bags
can you?
Are see-through, so you can see. He hasn't let me forget.
No, I think, I'm sorry.
He's been emailing me, so take it out of the bag. But
Tanya Lee, you have it in your hand.
Yes.
What
so
is it?
It looks like you could put it on something and... do something like that. However, I have already researched this type of thing because I have a mobility scooter, and this end of the gadget has three little pins in it, which would plug into where you charge your battery for your mobility scooter. And this end has a USB port, so you can charge your your mobile. And yes, I've been wanting to get one of these, and I'm nicking this.
All our products that we get, we offer as competition prizes
except
afterwards to listeners. I think Daniel Lee's going to be entering this competition. I mean, I have the same mobility as Scooter as Tech. Well, not quite the same.
Mine's
one.
Much better.
Okay. However, this is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, I'm just wondering that, I mean, is it illegal now if you're on your mobility scooter and you're driving, texting, making calls? And yeah, that's just another reason I can get refused to get on the buses.
Well, what are they going to do? We don't have licenses. They can't give us points or anything, are they? We'll be all right.
Do you remember back in 2005? We were in the Edinburgh Festival in 2005, and I remember Tanya Lee gave me a lift home on a mobility scooter.
Over the cobbles.
It must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was on the back of her mobility scooter. It was raining.
With a hard on.
We had a golfing umbrella. We had a golfing umbrella over the top of us on this mobility scooter, and to this day, I can only imagine we must have looked like something off Mario Kart.
Let me tell you the name. It's called a Freerider USB charger for wheelchair scooters. It enables you to charge your phone, you know all that. Here's the moral dilemma. So you're out, you're a long way from home, you've got a little bit of juice left on your phone, and you've got a little bit of battery left on your scooter. What would you do? Would you charge the phone? Would you go for this?
There's no reason why you shouldn't be sexting, so I would have to charge my phone. Nothing slows me down from the sexting.
I charge phone, and then you can just phone a cab.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Phone all the way.
I think this is a boon. Okay, so I need to tell you, it's £70 plus VAT.
70? That's why I'm going to pay. I'm not paying for this. That's why I'm taking this one.
I'm wondering if it's because it's new. That's quite expensive.
£70?
Yeah, I have found cheaper versions online, so you know.
It's plus VAT, but we're exempt from VAT, being disabled people. Get in.
Really?
Only on disability products, we should add. That's not a loophole that we keep a secret. We don't go in and have a little special handshake that gets us 20% off. We need to explain that. It's only on disability products.
Paul, you've got so much to learn.
You do if you do it the way he does.
Okay, so scores. Paul, what would you give? Oh, no, Tanya Lee.
Oh, I'm all about the 10.
10?
All about it.
Paul?
Well, I was a 10 till I learned it was 70 quid. Now it's a 3.
Oh, dear. Okay, harsh. Chris?
Well, it doesn't affect my life, does it?
Do you want to feel it?
Yeah.
Give it back.
It's, oh, God. That's why there's no payphones left, isn't it, really? So I'll give it a 3 as well. 2.5.
Oh, that's hard to end up. See, Beth?
Yeah, I can see there's 8. I'll give it 8.
I'm giving it 9. I want it to come down a bit in price. That's all. Thank you, Tanya Lee.
So, Chris, your turn, Chris. Actually, in fact, we did ask everybody to give an initial recording when they got the thing through the post, and Chris has given us a record, the only one, actually.
Because I'm a mug.
So we're going to listen to Chris's initial reaction to when he got his product through the post.
Hello, it's Chris here. I've got a box that's been sent to me by the lovely Steve Best. He wants me to record my reaction to opening it, so let's get cracking on. So we open the box. Lots of paper. And I don't know, what's in it?
It's 1:14 PM.
Okay, well, I think that's explained itself, hasn't it?
It's 1:14 PM.
It's a talking alarm clock. Is this some kind of joke, Steve? You know? Let's send a talking alarm clock to the bloke who's got a 1-year-old at home. Let's send an alarm clock to the guy who hasn't slept past 5 in 15 months. Is this how you get your kick, Steve? I'm sure it's a perfectly nice alarm clock, but honestly, Steve, just shove it up there.
So, Chris, what do you think now, really?
22.
Oh, it's very accurate, apparently.
It's a talking alarm clock, Steve.
It's 12:22 PM.
Nope.
That's it, is it?
It's a talking alarm clock, Steve.
Okay.
I don't really know what you want to say about it. It's a cube. It's got a button on the top. It's a talking alarm clock. I think the alarm clock might be the first thing they ever made talk that wasn't a human. You can buy them in Argos, Steve. Tells you the time.
I think you've got a point there, and it looks nice, though, doesn't it? I like the button, and
looks like one of those buttons off Family Fortune.
It is a big button.
Yeah.
Is there not a problem also, because it's 4 a.m, you wake up and you don't know, you want to know what time it is.
Try and be quiet.
It's 12.
Yeah, and your wife wakes up and goes, well, I don't want to know that. Do you have to put earplugs in? Oh, no, earphones or
there
something.
There is a volume control, but you've got to take the battery compartment off the back to get to it. It's inside here, and then you turn that down, and...
12:20.
It's quite... Oh. So, yeah, it's...
You can't hear it, then.
Well, it's not the fastest access, is it? But it's, and I don't know what this battery thing has got going on, but they're all welded together into one big block. So, yeah, it's a talking alarm clock, Steve.
£21.95, Chris.
Oh,
the audience reaction there. Plus VAT on that, but you get exempt from that.
Only for Paul.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't we?
So, if you to score out of 10, Mr. Chris,
I will score it. I don't know. Yeah. Well, whatever the last number it says is.
It's 12:23.
Oh, there you go.
Was that 3?
Oh, yeah. I gave it an opportunity to score itself and it picked 3.
Wait 5 minutes. Tanny Lee.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily need it, but the chance to bash something over the head, I'm always for it. So, I don't know, 6. It would get on my nerves, though. I'd chuck it out the window.
Paul?
6.
I think that one looks better than that one up there.
That's my photography day, Paul.
Sorry, mate. On the basis of that photo, I'll give it a strong 7, then.
Simon?
I'm in the middle. I'm going to give it a 5.
I would give it a high score, but it is expensive. If you say you can get it cheaper elsewhere, I'm not sure, but I'd give it 6.
Okay. My score might be different now.
It's 12:24.
Yeah, it's gone up.
Just to clarify, because this could become the winning product if I get the number wrong on this. What are you scoring it? Are you saying the 4?
It's 4 now.
Okay.
It's not bad, to be honest. I mean, as an alarm clock goes, it's small, it's square, it's got a button on the top. It's nice, you know. It's
so
overpriced.
I know the audience on the edge of our seat. The winner, do you know what it is? It's actually Paul's hydrant hydrating.
Oh,
I can't. You want a recount?
I think it's because Paul gave you.
Tanya Lee, your USB charger came in second. Oh. And with 28 points, Chris, for your. What was it again? Talking alarm clock?
It was, yeah. 12. But I've got 5 now.
Oh, it's 1 now.
Thank you very much. We just to give you a free rein. Do you have a personal gadget that is the one thing that you just use all the time and love and think everyone should know about? I mean, Paul,
mine's an egg cracker.
We've reviewed one of them. What's that?
So I went through my entire life never being able to eat eggs or use eggs because could never crack them, because you need, you know, you break them on the side of a bowl and then you need thumbs as a fulcrum. That's a good word. To pull them apart. Once tried using my nose, all ended badly. Literally ended up with egg on my face. Cheap gag, always works.
To be honest, I thought the one thing you would have been doing with eggs is probably breaking them.
Because I'll make an omelette without any hands. There's a mixed metaphor in there. But no, someone bought me this egg cracker thing for a birthday present on you, and you put the egg in it, you close it up, you bang it on a hard surface, open it up, and it keeps the shells in, pours the egg.
We did. We had that on there 2 months ago. You're on the wrong show, Paul.
Amazing bit of kit, and it changed my life, if it's possible to say that about eggs. I was eating omelettes and cakes for weeks afterwards.
It sounds good for everyone now, though, doesn't it? Really, as a gadget.
Yeah.
Although the review we had was Lawrence Clark, and Lawrence has got cerebral palsy.
Not so good for Lawrence, I can imagine.
And part of his cerebral palsy means involuntary movements. So it's great, I can crack it, but the eggs are just going to go all around the kitchen. So we got the wrong review on that month. Tanya Lee, your indispensable gadget.
I know, I'm very excited. I just got a selfie stick. Because, you know, we're living in, everybody's taking selfies. When you got dwarf arms and you're trying to take a picture of yourself, I get a picture of my nose. Or just... parts of my face and not the whole thing. So there's a thing called a selfie stick, which is telescopic. It has this like little grip thing on the end of it. You put your mobile phone in the end of it, any size phone, and you turn the Bluetooth on, and it Bluetooths to the stick. You telescope it to whatever length you want. You basically you angle it. You can see yourself or the people around you take video, and you hit the button, and best thing ever.
Like it, Chris.
Mine's really boring. I probably just my iPhone. I just everything goes through it now, doesn't it? I control. It's amazing the amount of things you can, like the telly and your TiVo box and just everything.
You do your TiVo box on it?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know that.
Just my iPhone. You do feel like you've. I was going to say like you're losing a limb, but that's a bit out of place, isn't it? But it's just the iPhone, really.
Has it got a talking alarm clock on it?
It does. Well, we're kind of nearly finished the show now, but we're going to ask you before you go, guys, what are you up to next, so the audience can see you somewhere. Paul?
I'm making a film for BBC One about bionic hands at the moment.
Ooh. That's good reaction.
When might it be going out?
In February.
Okay, February. All right. Tanya Lee.
I'm in the country until the 15th. I'm performing at Junglers Comedy Club in Birmingham next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And December 12th, I am performing at the Liverpool Philharmonic with Jason Manford and Terry Alderton. Which is a big show. Yippee!
Mr. Chris McCausland?
I did a thing which was on BBC One. Drama, which was on in November, and that's on iPlayer until middle of December. So it's called Moving On, so people can watch that, I suppose.
Way to sell it! Way to sell it, Chris!
Well, you've whipped them into a frenzy. I think they're really excited about that. Brilliant. Okay, we have now got our final special guest. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen him before, he's an absolute treat. His name is Lost Voice Guy. A couple of other fabulous comedians, this is what they're kind of saying about him. He's probably the first stand-up comedian to actually use a communication aid. Ross Noble, who's awesome, says he's a very funny guy. Matt Lucas from Little Britain says he's a wonderful comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, Lost Voice Guy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Are you all very well? Before I start, I realise I sound like the talking alarm clock. The time is 9:14 p.m. I guess I better start by introducing myself, because one or two of you are looking very confused. Believe it or not, my name isn't really Lost Voice Guy. My parents were never mean enough to do something like that. At least that's what they told me to say whenever the nice lady from social services visited. In reality, they kept me locked in a room upstairs to hide me from everyone else. The local people were a bit afraid of me. They only let me out on special occasions. In fact, Anne Frank had it pretty easy compared to me. Incidentally, my diary is available to buy after the gig. Anyway, my real name is Lee, and it's nice to meet you all. I got the nickname, Lost Voice Guy, while I was at school. It was a very cruel thing to call me, I know. It really knocked my confidence, and I hardly ever went out in the playground because of it. But the teachers insisted on calling me it. If only they could see me now. Of course, they can't. Because I went to school a long time ago, and they are all dead. I hate that we have so many, politically, correct words to describe disabled people now. When I went to school, I honestly went to a school with spastics in its name. They certainly knew how to make us feel good about ourselves. Now it's all special needs, special schools, special Olympics. That is why it always alarms me when I hear about special forces going to war. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been Lost Voice Guy. I hope you have had fun laughing at a disabled man. Enjoy the rest of your night. Goodbye.
We're a little bit over time. Thank you so much, Lost Boys. We're a little bit over time, but we've got a couple of minutes. Now, we've got a roving mic, I'm hoping, somewhere. There's a roving mic. If you have a question you want to ask us, this is your chance. So, any questions from the floor?
Can you give us a question that you get asked all the time that's the most stupid?
Does anybody want to know what the time is? 12:51 p.m.
Well, I had a man come up to me the other day in the street, and I was waiting to cross the road, and I was stood there, and he went, "All right, mate." I was like, "Hello." And he went, "Are you type one?" And I went, "I'm sorry, pardon." And he went, "Are you type one?" And I went, "Sorry." And he said, "Type one diabetic? Are you type one diabetic?" I went, "No." And he went, "All right, see you later," and walked off. I don't know what the right answer to that question was, but I'm dying to know.
We're coming up to Christmas now. What would be your favourite Christmas present?
Talking Ooh. Cock.
Any of our panellists here?
Well, my boyfriend's been asking me to marry him now like 4 times, and I keep saying no, so now he's beaten me into submission sort of thing, so I'm kind of hoping for an engagement ring, but he's broke, so I'm not holding my breath.
Well, you've made it public now.
Yeah, well, I do.
You're doing yourself out of a Christmas present there. Surely just get him to do that in February or March or something.
Yeah. Any Christmas present you're after?
Can I have a Geordie accent, please?
Okay, I think that's it for tonight. So if you could all thank the guests we had. I'll say the names first and a big round of applause. We had Chris McCausland, Tanya Lee Davis, Paul Carter, Lost Voice Guy, Simon Minty.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed that live recording of our show. We're back in the studio now, and we have our monthly competition where you can win all the products we talked about.
We're going to offer each of today's items as its own prize, so to win you need to drop us an email or a text message, and we put all of the entries into a hat and draw out a winner. Do state which product you'd rather: the Hydrant Hydration System, which Paul reviewed, the Freerider USB charger, which Tanya Lee had, or the Talking Cube Clock, which Chris liked.
All the information is on our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com, or leave us a voicemail or send a text on 07756 190 561.
Unfortunately, at this point, we can only send the prizes to the people in the UK, but thank you all our international listeners for listening. Closing date for this month's competition is in the new year, Monday the 12th of January.
And the transcript of this podcast will be on our website too.
Thank you, as always, to Really Useful Stuff, who supplied the items, and, of course, all the manufacturers who offer their products up for review. You can check out what they do via their website, reallyusefulstuff.co.
Thank you to all our guests, and, of course, our producer, Anne.
And thank you to all of you for listening.